I believe that our church is a church that desires to truly worship the Lord. And I've been studying on some things. You know, last week we talked a little bit about community. We'll look at Isaiah 58 tonight, and we're going to dig into that a little more. Before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Who wants to lead us? I will. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to get together tonight to visit with one another and to fellowship and encourage one another. And Lord, I just thank you, Jesus, for loving us and saving us and giving us life. And thank you for those kids that's back there in those rooms being taught your word tonight. I pray you bless those people that are working with them. And I thank you for their willingness to sacrifice and do that. Lord, we just lift up the ones who's been mentioned the last few weeks that are not feeling good. Pray that you would touch people and heal people, and God help us as a church to care about people and check on people, and Lord, just pray as we open your word tonight, God, that you would begin something new in us, Lord, that you would spark a fire in us, God, to walk a new walk and to be renewed in our hearts and our minds, and God, that we'd be a people who truly want to honor and worship you in the way you call us to, in the way that you desire. I know your word says you desire to be worshiped in spirit and in truth. Let us be those people who hunger for your honor and your glory, for your name's sake. We just thank you, Lord, for the rain that you give us this week and the milder weather this summer. And Lord, just pray as we go into the fall, God, that this time of year be a time we take with our families and strengthen them and strengthen the fellowship of our church. And I ask you all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, looking in Isaiah 58. You know, a lot of times when we think about God, honor, and worship, we think about, well, what do y'all think about? When you think about true worship, what comes to your mind? God, honor, and worship, what comes to your mind? Being thankful, okay. Freedom.
Being honest and sincere.
Honest and sincere. Having joy.
Being reminded of what he has done and
what he's doing. Reminded of what he's done, what he's doing.
And cheerful.
Cheerful, thankful, hopeful. You know, I a lot of times I guess I'm thinking about process, but the action of worship, you know, that you are describing a heart and a spirit of worship. When you think about the action of worship, I think about bowing down. You know, actually the word in the Hebrew means to bow down. When we worship, we bow down. And so come on in, come all the way to the front, all the way to the front. Get sardine cans in here. You think about lifting hands and praying. You know, it's funny. Y'all, everybody here probably knows Mr. Kenner. And Mr. Kenner, when he worships, he cuts loose and he worships. I love it. And it was a couple of Sundays ago. I was just, when I'm preaching, I don't think about people when I'm preaching. I'm just preach whatever comes to my heart and mind and what I've been studying on. And I said something about how, you know, you can raise your hands, jump up and down, do all this stuff, and that doesn't mean you're being true. And he talked to me after church. He's like, hey, man, I'm about the only one that does that, you know. I said, I wasn't even thinking about you. He was laughing, carrying on there. I said, you do what you want to do before the Lord. But we think about lifting hands and singing praise and being at church. And all of those are aspects of expressing worship. But worship and gratitude is far more than that. True worship, we'll look in Isaiah 58, is godly community. A lot of times when we think about worship, we don't think about godly community. And honestly, on Wednesday nights, I know that we're like, far as reading the Bible and doing a Bible study, we're starting a little bit later. But one thing I've watched with y'all are enjoying visiting with each other. I'm like, let them visit. You don't always got to just go, okay, it's time and we got to do our lesson. I'm like, if y'all need a fellowship, that's godly worship. Building community is godly worship, and sometimes you need that more than you need another Bible study. Like, well, I need a Bible study. Turn on the radio. You know, you got 500 million of them. Just if you need that, it that bad. Sometimes people just need, you know, to be encouraged and just to talk and that kind of stuff. So that's why I'm not in no press to hurry up and get started in what I'm doing. Isaiah 58 verse 1, he says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. So let's look and see what their sins are. It says, yet they seek me daily. They delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Okay, so that's what they're doing. He's calling it sin. Each one of those things, like, man, that sounds like they're really walking with the Lord. He said, well, you're doing it like you were a nation that didn't forsake the Lord. And then he goes on down and notice what their question is. They say, why have we fasted and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? What made them come to that conclusion?
They were wanting something instant.
Okay, so they were wanting something. Anybody here ever been guilty of wanting something for God? So you do and you expect, or you pray and you expect, and then it doesn't happen. Yeah, wanting your time.
It's more like you're doing something in an expectation. Your heart's not true in it. You're doing something to get a reaction.
Yeah, good. Yeah, making a show, especially in front of God. They were actually trying to put on a show in front of God, but their heart, it wasn't just their heart wasn't right. They were there to get something. It says, in fact, in the day that you fast, you find pleasure. So the fast here is talking about a time of worship, okay? And you exploit all your laborers. What does that mean? People work for them. Working them to death. Working like a Hebrew slave, like I did my wife today. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with a fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is this a fast I have chosen? You see, the whole thing about true worship is you want to worship the way God's chosen, because he's the object of our worship if we're truly worshiping how we want. You know, a lot of people are like, I worship how I want to and I worship how this. Like, well, it ain't about how I want to. It's about, is this what is pleasing to God? Because if it's not pleasing to God, what's the point? Y'all agree?
Oh, yeah.
So worship should be, if I really in my heart go, I really want to worship God and offer him what he desires that's pleasing to God, then I need to get in God's word and go, what's pleasing to God? Not just what's pleasing to me or what's fitting to me, but I want to know what does God enjoy and expect when it comes to true worship. He says, a day for a man to afflict his soul or to bow down his head like a bulrush, spread out sackcloth and ashes. Would you call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness. This is what God's looking for. To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? And that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. And when you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh or your own kin. Okay. Let me stop right there and look at their idea of worship was actually sinful. Centrally focused around what they could or should gain from it. It was about what did I get out of that? Anybody ever left church? Well, I didn't really get nothing out of that. Anybody here? Anybody here? Come on, y'all lying. Y'all know after I preach sometime, Cole, thank you, Cole. You walked out here and went, I ain't getting nothing out of that. I know that's on a Sunday Mark preaches, but no. You know, and I'm guilty of it. Listening. I listen to pastors. And I listened to a pastor friend of mine a couple weeks ago, and I was like, I really didn't get nothing out of that. I'm like, and that's our thought process. That's what we've been trained and cloned to think, that we come to church, we get something out of it. You know, you go to Sunday school, you get something out of it. Worship is something that you get something out of. We think, man, I need to go to church service so I can get lifted up and encouraged. You know, and I think that's the outcome of true worship, but it's not the object of true worship. What is it? True. And maybe the heart's not right and you can't receive what God was trying. That's a good point. Yeah, I agree. Just go through the process. You know, you're supposed to go. Yep, I agree. I got two. What is it? Yeah, sometimes our lives, God doesn't listen to us because we ain't listening to him. What is it you got, Mike? No, I, I wouldn't think so. I mean, I can go through a process. Would you say I would go through a process of worship? That doesn't mean I've been in the presence of the Lord. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's different than music worship that we have here. But
yeah.
It just makes me think, they're reading through this, they're doing all these things, but they're doing it outside the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
And it's if you really want to intentionally do worship, you're inviting the presence of the Lord in, and that can involve sin.
Yeah.
It can involve self, right?
And yeah.
It kind of helps, just the way to think about it.
Yeah. I also think that they had it wasn't just what they were getting out of it. To them, worship was an investment. They were like, I'm gonna make an investment here. I expect a return.
Yeah.
They were looking for God to give them something. Like you say, worship is in the presence of the Lord. Whereas it seems what they've got going on is they're trying to kind of conjure God up. We're doing all this stuff, God. Where are you at? Where are you at? And worship doesn't. And I'm not saying this. If you say this, don't take this personal. But I hear people say, God really showed up at church, or Lord, we pray you pour out your Spirit. And I don't think those are wrong. It is a wrong concept. I'm like, God's presence is in us, and we come together as the temple, as the body of Christ, and the Lord's presence here. Now I realize there is a feeling of the Holy Spirit when God's people begin to worship, but God doesn't just sit around and go, hey, people are starting to sing, so I'm going to show up. He doesn't do that. When you see people saw Jesus and recognized him, who he was in his presence, that's when they would bow, or they would worship when they recognized who he was. Kind of like Peter when the great fish catch, that he recognized who Jesus was, and he bowed down and said, Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. And so worship obviously is what we are bringing. But here's the thing. Worship looks like Jesus. If you look at the perfect worshiper, you look at Jesus. He's perfect everything. But if you want to know what worship looks like, you look at him, and it focuses on showing love to others, serving and benefiting others. And a lot of times we don't think about that as worship. We call it, well, I serve the Lord. Serving is worship. It's true worship when we express God's love to other people. When you see this here, Luke 22:28, Jesus talks about who wants to be greatest among you, let him be your servant. And also when you see in John chapter 13 where he's washing feet and talking about here in this chapter, setting people free. Now, here's what I want to ask you. When we look back at that text right there in verse 6, he says, isn't this not the fast I have chosen? Now, watch these words. To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. So if you're doing a Bible study, you're sitting there going, I really want to honor the Lord. Lord, and you say you want me to loose the bonds of wickedness, undo heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free, and break every yoke. What does that look like? What are my actions going to look like to accomplish that? What's he speaking of there? I don't think it's just spiritual. I mean, obviously, I think there is a spiritual aspect of it.
Well, like on the loosening bonds of wickedness. sometimes we get involved with things or situations that aren't pleasing to the Lord. And that would be, to me, the bonds of wickedness. Turn loose those things and focus back on the Lord.
Okay.
And not yourself.
Okay.
So
how would you loosen the bonds of wickedness with other people?
Forgiveness. Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking truth, hope to
them. Speaking truth is one way you loosen the bonds of wickedness. Let's dig in this. If we don't get any further, I'm okay with that. What is the bonds of wickedness? It's not just roll of. Okay. Such as. I'm going to keep picking. I'm digging.
Backbite.
Okay. Gossip. So how do you loose the bonds of gossip?
Shut your mouth.
What is the bonds of gossip? Let's say that since Cole raised his hand, if Cole was, he's under the, how would I recognize, number one, if Cole was under the bonds of wickedness? What would it look like in his life, and how would I loosen it? What is it? I know y'all give him great Bible answers, but I want you to tell me what it looks like.
So aggravation. If Cole's always aggravated or seemed bothered.
Okay, he'd be aggravated.
Then you come into church.
quit coming to church?
Spend time with him and find out, what is it that's making you, because this isn't your normal self.
So would we say the bonds of wickedness would be somebody who's bound up by maybe a sin in their life?
Correct. Yeah.
Would y'all agree with that?
Yeah, okay.
Tracy Durham's bound up by a sin in his life. How am I going to help loosen that? I agree. We said speak truth. I can go to him in love, speak truth as a brother. What else? Is that all?
Pray for him.
Yes. Pray for him. Pray with him.
Spend time with
him. I can't hear, buddy. I'm
accountability.
Holding accountability, encouraging, accountability, praying with. Is that it? So what's the difference between that? What's the difference between... It's true. Okay.
So take Jesus, for instance. So just like the woman at the well, and over here, and when he went to him, he spoke to him in a way like he says, the woman, the one you're living with now, is not your husband. So he spoke truth to him. But directly, he was direct. But sometimes now if you're direct with people, they take an offense to it.
That's true. I think another thing that obviously is sharing the gospel with people would be one way to loose the bonds of wickedness. Wickedness has somebody bound. In Isaiah 61, it says he come to open the prison doors, to set the captive free, to share the good news. So what's the difference between the bonds of wickedness and undoing heavy burdens? Anybody here got a heavy burden? Anybody? Anybody? Perfect church. Great. Well, we don't have nothing to do here tonight to worship. Might as well sing.
So define heavy burden.
That's what I want to do. What's a heavy burden? Have y'all ever had a heavy burden?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, what was it? Let's dig tonight. What was it?
Unforgiveness.
Unforgiveness is a heavy burden. That is a heavy burden. So if you have unforgiveness, how would a person undo the heavy burdens? Okay. What if it's not the issue? What if she has unforgiveness and it has nothing to do with you? How would you help her? How would you undo that heavy burden? Anybody?
Ask them. Why do you have this anger issue or this burden with this person?
It's true. So you could offer up counsel. True. Sharing testimony.
I'm too cut and dry.
Mediate.
So
what about this? Let's put this in a real applicable. What is a physical burden? He's talking about their workers.
My back hurts.
Amen. He's talking about workers here that are working for these people. And he said, I want you to undo their heavy burdens. Okay, back off your employees a little bit. Give them some time.
Respect them.
Respect. It's good.
Give them breaks.
True. See, because here's where I'm at. As I look at this in the context, this is talking about physical stuff.
It is.
And then what we do a lot of times, we make everything churchy, spiritual. And then we wonder why we don't see God. It's because God's like, because you ain't applying this where you can see me. You're churching it and doing a lot, but I'm like, to undo heavy burdens. If a brother's got or a sister got a heavy burden, maybe their burden is
wayward child.
I'll be honest with you. I've known some mom and daddies who've had some situations with kids, and I just jumped in and got involved with the kid. Not a young kid, but like an older kid, and here's the thing: if even with the marriage, I'm gonna be honest with you, if there's a couple in our church that are, I ain't getting in nobody's business, but I will if I can help. I'm gonna go to the man. I ain't gonna talk to the woman. I'm gonna go to the man and be like, all right, I'm not getting your business. If there's anything I can do to encourage you, help you, whatever. Sometimes marriages are falling apart because of finances. We can undo some heavy burden just by giving something to somebody. I'm asking y'all. Don't sit here and stare at me. I'm asking at y'all. Because here's the thing. Why are we going to do a Bible study we can't apply? I know I'm supposed to love people. I just need to know how. This is telling me how. Right. Can be. Yeah, we can hide that.
But a lot of that comes around, you know. I mean, gossip is probably ways to
pretend or whatever. Yeah.
And I've heard it said the reason some people tell you gossip is because they know you'll spread it.
Yeah. Not necessarily.
Well, this can bring
this can be the very thing that brings them to Christ.
Yeah, I know, but you've got to brush that first.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the beginning.
I think sometimes, though, that actions, the actions we take opens up the door to share the heart we're doing it in. If you take, for instance, I was trying to think of an illustration. All right, I'm gonna be careful. I'm careful how I use things, and like again, most everybody here knows Mr. Kenner. If you don't, Mr. Kenner's wife had a stroke about 12 to 15 years ago, wasn't it? And so she really, really struggles with her health. So he is consumed taking care. He has to do everything for her. And here's the thing: Ms. Kenner doesn't want to admit it. She doesn't want people treating her like she's had a stroke. And now for him, I'm careful what I say, but a person who has a stroke, the doctor said she's going to reach a certain point where you're going to be her greatest enemy. And she has reached that point with him. Now, most people don't see that or know him because you don't know him, and he don't go around feeling sorry for himself. He works himself to death taking care of his wife. And in that, and there's other people that do, and in that, I sat and had a breakfast with him and TC last couple of Sundays ago, and this is what Mr. Kenner said. He said, I don't have a wife like you to where I sit and talk to my wife and talk about things and or even laugh. He said, we can't do that anymore. He said, and I love, and if you've been around, he loves people. He just everywhere he goes, he's loving on people. And he goes, I just enjoy it for somebody to love me back. And I'm like, that's terrible. Yeah. That our church, I'm like, you know how you lift heavy burdens, man? Just call somebody you know is in a situation. Like, go, brother, I just want you to know I love you. I'm praying for you. I just want to speak life into you. Send a text, just something. Because when you're consumed by a burden, it's all you think about. And it's not just that. You might know somebody who's having struggle in their business. I'm finishing a house. I've been under a huge, heavy burden. Not that it's trouble, but it's a lot to keep up with all that I got going. I just want to be done. And I'm one day away, praise God, from being, and you know what? My wife helped me with a heavy burden day. She's like, I'm going to work with you. I said, I don't want you to work. So I'm going to work. And she came. I said, you're doing what Isaiah 58 said. She's helping me with that burden. And he said, I don't want y'all to come to work to help me. But you know what's cool? Frazier. What's Frazier? Not Jacob, his daddy. Wayne, pastor at Mount Alba. Wayne sent me a text. He knows. I said, man, I only got two or three more days, and I've got this off of me. It's been on me for 6 months. I'm ready to get out from under this. And he just said, he sent me a text the other morning and said, finish strong. That, I know that's simple, but sometimes it's just like simple to go, that's right, I'm finish strong. You know, it set your heart, you know. We got to think about how did Jesus undo heavy burdens and stuff? You know, he said, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I don't think that's just rest spiritually. It is to a point, but there's also the people that he went to. You think that lady at the well had a burden? You know what Jesus did? He showed up, and he was a friend to her first. And then he spoke love to her, and then he shared the gospel with her. And you know what? She left her water pot and went back. She left that burden there.
And most of the time, people who are carrying a burden like that, it's consuming.
Yeah.
Because I've had burdens like that before. And it consumes your life. And that's all you think about.
Absolutely.
About what's going on around you.
That's right. That's right. And you know, I've done this our whole ministry, and it works. And I've seen a lot of y'all do it, and I've seen a lot of other people who aren't here do this. When you know somebody's got something going on and you can help, sometimes just, hey, let me give you a couple hours to help. And invest in your life. Not just sit down and have another Bible study. I'm not knocking Bible studies, but these people were having Bible studies, and they were singing, and they were praying. The Lord's like, you got people all around, and you ain't doing nothing. This is sin. Yep. When we spend our lives, I'm like, why in the world? If we take this Bible study tonight, why in the world do I need another one tomorrow if I ain't doing what this said tonight? Yep. Can anybody answer that question?
Sure.
Because we are in a mindset of another Bible study, another Bible study, another Bible study. They delight to know my ways. What about do my ways? And it's like Steve said, we're supposed to love one another. Let me get my phone. Let me read this to you real quick. I'm about out of time. So I'm doing this study for me. I ain't doing it just to hack on y'all. So this morning I was looking at scripture, and I got to figure out from the stupid phone what I did with it. So I'm looking at a bunch of different scripture, and I took a picture of it on my phone so I could read it every so often. And Jesus said, starts in John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. That's action. Would y'all agree that's taking action? How do you know that Jesus loved you? How do we read the Bible and know Jesus loved people? We see what he did, not just what he taught. Then he says in John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. John 15:17, these things I command you, that you love one another. Romans 12, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know that you're taught by God to love one another. 1 Peter 1:22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And in 1 John 3:11, this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. Are we getting the point? I'm like, that's God's heart. If you want to be pleasing to God's heart, he said, I want you to love one another. Now, here's my question. When we come to church, do we love one another? How are we expressing? We express the worship by raising hand. We express worship by singing. We express worship by bowing down. How are we expressing love? It's more than just going, yeah, I know I'm supposed to love. I do love. I love everybody. I love everybody here. Did that help you? Does it help you? Let's be honest. If I just go, I want y'all to know I love you. Well, whoop-de-doo. So does Biden. You know, he'll tell you that. If I'm not expressing that in some way, I'm really not loving you. If you want to know the truth, I'm just coming to gain. I'm saying what I need to say because I know that's what God, I think that's what God wants to hear. But God's like, I want to see you put hands on love. I want to see you put feet on love. I want to see you put into action so that you can do what? So that you can break the bonds of wickedness, loose and heavy burden, let the oppressed go free. What are they oppressed with? Some people are oppressed with addiction. Some people are oppressed with beer. I'm talking to somebody. What is it?
Deer.
Some people are oppressed with beer, if you know the truth. You know, I've been talking to a marriage, and you know what? You know the reason why they're split up? He said, I ain't giving up alcohol. Like, I said, you love alcohol more than you love your wife. You're oppressed. Deer, oppressed by deer?
Fear.
I'm like, sister, me and you's going to have to disagree. We're going to have to agree to disagree. It's almost deer season. I'm not oppressed. I'm excited. All right? That's how I'm going to be set free. To him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is a sin. Or James chapter 2, yeah. What good is if you see a brother, sister destitute and need daily food or clothing and you say, be blessed. Yeah, that's, and so here's the thing. I don't know, we got way off. Let me just read you my notes. Stop using people for gain or profit, squeezing all you can get out of them. That's the American way. If I see that I can gain from this person, I'm going to get close to them. I'm going to squeeze them. Or if they work for me, I'm going to squeeze them. You know, if I don't know anybody here for the most part what you have, but if you want them employers that you pay your people as least as you can to get the most out of them, you're a crook and you're a chinch. And God's not pleased with that. You understand that? Well, I don't like being called that. You're a crook, you're a chinch, and God's not pleased with it. That's just the way it is. And that's the Bible, and I'll show that all day long. That is not pleasing to God, you know. That's in it so I can get more and more. That's using people. Use them so I can get more and more and more and more, just choking people to death. It's ridiculous. Help them overcome. The Bible said, bear one another's burdens. Immediately we go to the spiritual. Bear one another's burdens. You know, they feel bad, so I'm going to pray with them. I'm praying like, what about their physical burdens? Well, we should bear one another's physical burdens. Help one another. Community is caring and sharing. I'm just reading your notes get real quick, okay? Community is caring and sharing for the gain of others. It's for the gain of others. Jesus is all about the gain of others. This is a community. Our church should be a community so impacted, so transformed, so grateful for the love that God has shown to us, so filled that we gather twice a week to empty out. That's what we should be here for. We shouldn't be here to go, I'm empty and I need you to fill me. We should go, I am so overwhelmed by the love of God, the goodness of God, the blessing of God, the favor of God in my life that I'm going to live to give. Live to give. That's what Jesus wrote. Paul said it's better to give than to receive. Jesus is all about giving. I don't even care if it's money. Keep your money if that's what you love. But we have plenty that God's given us that we can share and show the love of Christ to. And that's what makes us a community. And that's what builds community. If everybody comes here on a Sunday just to hear singing and preaching, we're not a community. We're just a gathering of individuals who are self-centered and want something out of it. We're no different than a rock concert or a comedian show. Why? When you go to a comedian show, you go there because you care about the people in the crowd? You go to help other people in the crowd? No, you don't. And there's a lot of people who treat church the same way. Get in, get my seat. Keep it to myself. I know a couple people, and I'll be nice to them. The rest of these people, they got their problems, and I got mine. And I'm here, and I've heard it before. I'm here to hear the word. Dude, you can hear the word every day. Get into it. Open the book. Pray and ask God to speak. Spend time in the Bible. Fill yourself and come here to empty out into somebody else. Come here to speak and exhort and encourage one another and to show the love of Christ. Somebody bear burdens, set the bonds of wickedness loose. Y'all with me? We should be a community so concerned about the lives of others that we look for the opportunity to invest in them, to bless them, to speak life in them and encouragement. And then verse 9, let me see what I wrote in verse 9. It says, watch this in verse 8. When you do this, when you start to invest in other people's lives, you start showing love, you start giving, you start being involved because you love the Lord, you want to honor him. That's why you do it. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. That right there is why I started studying this chapter. So, what do you pick out different stuff? My back right now is wrecked. It's not good. It's not good at all. And I know I was told I was going to go see Brother Love, and I hadn't been to him. I told him, bear with me. And I'm going to, and I know there's things you can do to take care of, and I believe God bless certain people. You know what? For instance, how can he loose heavy burdens? I got a heavy burden, and God might use him to help me fix my back. Does that make sense? I ain't asking him to do it for free or for a cut price. No, charge me full price. If you can fix my back, I'll give you a bonus. You know what I'm saying? I don't look for handouts. But I do go, God's blessed certain people and gifted certain people. The gifts of the Spirit aren't just love and joy and peace and kindness. Sometimes it's being a chiropractor, and God's blessed you with a gift to be able to help people. Sometimes it's Miss Janaea with a gift to be able to help people. She helps people. Y'all with me? It's using certain things. I look over the crowd. Everybody's got gifts. It's just different people. Tiffany's helped our family with a gift that God's blessed her with. Tracy helped our family. So how do you do that? It took me hunting. I killed a 150-inch deer. That was great. We ate good. And you know what? Every time I look at it on the wall, I'm like, man, thank you, Lord. It brings joy to my heart. Got a picture of me and him in there. It's loving one another. The only thing I got to do with God. I'm like, well, you need to wake up. Get out of the four, okay? Wake up from the four walls. Okay? Start, and I could just go on and on with the people in this room. True worship honors and moves the heart of God. He says, that's when your light will break forth. Do we want our light to shine? Do we want, the Bible says, you're the light of the world, city on the hill. That's what he calls the church. We're the light of the world, city on the hill. I want the church light to shine. I want a full crowd on Wednesday night. Why? Not to just have a full crowd, but people who are so excited to come here to serve one another, love one another, encourage one another, bless one another, share the truth with one another, speak life to one another. Like, man, I can't wait Wednesday night. I'm so excited. Instead of going, I guess I'll go. Maybe he got something tonight. It'll help me make the rest of this miserable week. Maybe the Lord will show up. Maybe so. You know what that light is? That's his glory in you. When you begin to live like Jesus, well, here's the 411. The Father loves the Son. The Father loves the Son. When he sees the Son in you, you know what happens? She just shines. He pours out his glory. When we're responsive, true worship is, I want to honor Jesus because he's so good to me. Whatever that looks like, if it's cleaning a toilet, if it's coming over your house to help you, there's another brother who ain't here tonight. I need to check on Michael Reichner. Is that right?
Yeah, he needs our prayers right now.
Okay. You know how he helped me lose heavy burdens? I broke everything out of my yard breaking this year. One of them was in my lawnmower. You know what Michael did? Michael came over to my house, helped me fix my lawnmower. That undoes heavy burdens. Might not be a burden to you, but it's a huge burden to me. And it's caused me all kinds of issues.
He's bound by heavy burdens.
Yeah, we need to lift him up, keep him in prayer then. I know that. Watch the promises that go with this, and let's finish. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. Anyhow, back to why I got in. You know why I got this? I thought, Lord, I believe God heals. You can agree or disagree. I believe God miraculously heals.
Amen.
I believe God, and this is what I'm praying right now. And I'm not knocking, you know, going to doctors or whatever, but I just go, I believe if Jesus wants to, he can just get. I've been praying, Lord, you give me my back like I had when I was 20.
Yep.
And I won't do the stupid things that I did when I was 20 to get the back that I got when I'm 53. And I'm praying, God, I want you to heal me if there's any way possible. And then I got thinking, is there anything that would hinder God from healing a person? Like, yeah, there is, because the Bible said several instances where he said he could do nothing because of their unbelief.
Yep.
That's why I started studying this, because I pulled up the word healing and I saw this. And I thought, well, let's just wonder, what if I started applying this because I believe it? Because I want to honor God. Because I want to be a true worshiper. And what if God just healed me? What kind of impact did that make on y'all? Y'all folk be starting to help loosen some burdens then, wouldn't you?
It would be the end of verse 8.
It would be the end of verse 8. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Watch this. Your righteousness shall go before you. This is talking about what happens when I do these things. Your light shall see the glory of God in life. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. Please don't make everything spiritual. I was talking about spiritual healing. Last time I checked, Jesus healed physically.
Yep.
He heals physically too. And your righteousness shall go before you. What are you talking about here? Remember Jericho? Remember when they marched to Jericho? What was in the middle of them? It was the Ark of the Covenant. And it said that they had the army here, and they called it the rear guard. They were the rear guard. Christ was right in the center of it. And what he's saying is, this is, I'll protect you and your family from the enemy. This is a breastplate of righteousness that we talked about Sunday. You honor me in this way, and I will surround you.
That's right.
This is what it's talking about in Psalm 91. This is a secret place of the Most High God. Read Psalm 91 when you get a chance. Are y'all thinking I'm crazy? Because everybody looking at me like I got a deer in the headlight. I'm just stupid enough to go, I am interested in just coming to church and preaching. I'm like, I've been praying, God. I'm in a whole new realm. Or like, God, I want to see you. I want to hear you. I want to respond to you. I want to honor you. I told a lady in McCoy's, and just so y'all know, I got about one more day of work, and I'm done. I'm stick a fork in me. I'm doing ministry 100%. That's what I'm trying. There might be a day or two there, where here or there, where I might have to work here or there. But I told the Lord, I want to give my last years to be my best years. And I was talking to a lady at McCoy's. She's like, I don't want to be working when I'm 70. And she's an unbeliever. She don't like to talk about it, but. Anyhow, I was talking, she said, I don't want to be working when I'm 70. I told my husband, I want to be finished. And I want to enjoy my last years. I said, I got 3 days, and I'm going to try to serve God with everything in me because he's so good to me. She went, And she went on about her business. I'm like, I'm at a place where I'm like, I believe there's so much more to the Lord than what we see. I believe our church is a place where we're just like, I know we've had a lot going on, but it's time to get past what we had going on. It's time to move forward. It's time to let the light shine. It's time to bring glory to Jesus. We're still here, and we're still going to be here, and we should be caring about people and growing and building community and putting away unforgiveness and putting away all that stuff and go like, whatever. Now, wash it and let it go. Love and move on, and let's move forward and follow Jesus and build an incredible church to the glory of God so that when I kick out of here and you kick out of here, it continues to be a city on the hill for the generation to come unless Jesus comes back first. And I'd like to be busy loving people and preaching the gospel when he comes back.
Amen.
And I believe that's where we need to wake up and go, we're not on a downhill slope, people. We at the top of the mountain, and we're going to continue to grow and go. And that takes people going, you know what? I'm not asking you to do something for me or do something for the church. I'm saying, this is what the Bible says. If you really love Jesus and you want to honor him, this is how you can do it. If you don't love Jesus and don't honor him, you can go into the house. That makes sense. So as you walk with the Lord, you live like Jesus, you love like Jesus, then we see the presence and the glory of God. That's why it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, now unto him be glory. Unto him be glory in the church. What does that glory look like? That's the light. That's the glory of his presence in his people. That's when people come to Cedar Creek, because, you know, Cedar Creek is talked about a lot. I figured that out. Everywhere I go, I'm hearing something new about Cedar Creek that I didn't even know. I've been here for 21 years almost. Cedar Creek this, Cedar Creek that. I'm like, have you ever been to Cedar Creek? Then why are you talking about it? Because what you're talking about ain't true, number one. And then there are some good things about Cedar Creek. There's a lot of people outside of Cedar Creek that goes to the defense of the church. Go, no, I know those people. I know those people. And here's where I'm at. I just want to go, I don't care what the community says. I do care what the community sees. That's what I care. I care what the community sees and hears. Like, I don't care. Naysayers, there'll always be naysayers. I'm not out to stomp out fires. I'm out to stir one, the right kind of fire. And I'm like, I want to focus on Jesus. You know, I'm kind of in a place to where I'm like, all right. You know, I know I'm sharing a lot of me, but y'all got quiet. I'm not just like, I'm at a place now where I'll go, all right, Lord. And I know he'll test me on that. Whatever you want to do. I told him today, God, whatever you want to do with me, I'm ready. I just want to expand and grow and reach and invest in Jesus. And to me, that's not more programs and more organizations. I'm going to be hunting people down just to spend time with them, to love people, to encourage people, to disciple people, to help people. What kind of church will we be if all in? You know what? One time a day, at least one time a day, I'm going to do one of these things. I'm going to find somebody. It's not hard to find somebody who's got heavy burdens in the bondage of weakness. I mean, you go to the gas station, you're going to find all kinds of those people. You know people like that. We work with people like that to go, I'm going to at least speak love to you, speak life to you, speak God's word to you. You know, get over your worried about what people think. You should worry about people, what people think. You say you're a Christian, they should think you're a Christian. They should expect that you're going to share Jesus' love with them. They should expect you're going to talk about the Bible. That's what Christians do. Don't disappoint them. Show the love of Jesus to them. Share the love of Jesus with them, the gospel with them. That makes sense. Y'all finish studying that out yourself. All right. Anybody got any special prayer requests before we go? You got anything you want to ask for? Ask for? You got anything you want to ask for? Look at that. You have not because you asked not. What would you like to ask for, Cole? Okay. What else? What would you like to ask for? This row, one person. What do you ask God for? Come on, let's not listen to him. Let's not be too churchy tonight. Jesus walked up here and said, "What do you ask for something?" Now I know we're gonna go, well, I need to figure out what he wants me to ask him for. He just said, "Ask." What would you ask for? Me, I asked for a 20-year-old back. That's what I'm asking for. What are you asking for?
I ask for healing in relationships.
Healing in relationships.
I got two buddies that I'm gonna call out for September.
Take you. Show God's glory.
And I hope
it's the guy's not a believer to see it. Hey, we can pray for that. If there's anybody here, I think everybody's here on the same page. I'm here like, well, the Lord don't care about that. Last year, Michael went on his first moose hunt. All our men gathered up and prayed over him and said, God, we pray you give him a giant. You know what he did? He killed a giant. Now, who gets the glory for that? Wasn't no accident. You say what you want to do. I'm like, I think Jesus heard our prayer and gave him the desire of his heart, like I said in Psalm 37. He gave you the desires of your heart. So here's the thing. If you can't ask for what you really want, then you need to quit wanting it. Right? What you got? We can pray for that. I agree.
I'm asking for wisdom to write a book.
Wisdom write a book. Anybody? Ask? Ask. House on the Lake. House on the Lake. I like that. That would be great. Yeah, be good. Be good. None of y'all's? Okay, good. How's he on? Not renting. See, is it wrong to ask for stuff? Is it wrong to work for stuff without asking? I'm not going to ask God. I'm just going to take care of myself. I don't need God. Bless him. I'll work. What would you ask for, Tracy?
Health.
Good health. Good health. Softened your heart. You need that, sister. Grant needs you to need that. Nobody here wants a different job. Everybody loves your job. You love getting up in the morning and going to work.
I got three.
You got three.
My shoulder.
Three jobs?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, three.
That's what you say. All right.
My shoulder. It aches.
Need to heal your shoulder.
Heal that. I want my swimming pool to be clear.
Okay.
I'm tired of fighting a cloudy pool.
You need to talk to Cody. That's your heavy burden. You didn't even share that with us. There might be a brother in here who knows how to clear that up, and he could undo your heavy burden. There you go, right there.
And number three, our kids.
Okay.
We really only have one that has come to Christ.
Okay.
We got the six kids.
Okay.
So when number four.
Come on.
Our son to want a relationship with her mom.
Okay.
Yeah, his mom.
Okay.
Texted me just tonight and said she wants to quit. I said quit. And pray for Dennis in Texas tonight and Martha, that's where she's at.
Okay.
With that
Dennis and all. Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody in here loves your job.
She hates it. And
you love your job? Phil, you love your job, Amanda? Love it. I mean, this is what you dreamed about. Everybody here, it's amazing. Everybody here has your dream job. Content, but listen to me. It's okay. It's good to be content. God's contentment is a great gain. But it doesn't hurt to go, but, Lord, if you have something different, I would like to do this.
Amanda, share what your dream job and all that together is.
Good.
She would love to travel and do that.
You know what I would love to do? I would love to have land, enough land to where I could build just something simple and do, especially focus on building men and relationship with their kids and building families and using what I love to do to incorporate that. And not have to worry about the money of it.
Yeah.
Let's just go on and deal with the reality. Yeah. I'd be able to do it, make a living at it, not worry about the money of it, to where I can focus and invest on making disciples, being a man builder, family builder. Wouldn't you love to do something like that and be able to make a living at it? God, I love to get up every morning and go to work. I want to tell you something. I despise. I'm not talking about ministry. I despise what I've done. I despise it with all my heart. That's why I'm getting away from it. And I'm looking for a miracle.
I like to shoot.
I love that word.
There's 8 acres for 700.
What is it?
Yep.
8 acres for 700. I know. I need about 8. I'm thinking 8 God's. So 8,000 acres.
Yeah.
800 acres. Is that it? Is all we asking for tonight?
I pray that they find her tomorrow.
Okay.
That's a big, big prayer.
They brought another team from Mexico that was there that found like a hunt.
Clay's involved in all that. He's been going out there and being involved in it. All right. No, go ahead. What is it?
Healthy.
Yeah. I agree. Wouldn't it be crazy if you stood before the Lord and Him say, I chose to answer every prayer that was asked for me that night, and you didn't ask?
Unspoken.
Okay. All right, that's it. Let me pray, and we'll get out of here. Lord, I love You, and we lift up every prayer request that was asked tonight, God. Your Word says we have not because we ask not. You told us in John 15, Mark just preached on abiding, and that You want us to ask. You commanded us, ask. So that joy may be full. And Lord, there's nothing wrong with asking. If we're trying to attain things or desire things apart from You, that's sinful. But God, Your Word says, every good and every perfect gift comes from You. And there's a lot of good things. You say You give all these things for us to enjoy. That's what Your Word says, God. And Lord, I'd like to enjoy some things before I get too old to enjoy them. And I think there's a lot of people here tonight who would. And I think there's a lot of people, I just want to loosen the bonds of misunderstanding. I think the devil's got a lot of people blinded about who You are and what Your heart is. God, You love us like a father, and You bless us. Lord, I look through the scripture, I see so many people. It's not the prosperity gospel, it's just the gospel. That You love us, that You give us life, that You give us life abundantly. Lord, that You provide for us. You're a provider not only of spiritual things, but of physical things. God, I give You the praise that every dollar I've ever made came from You. And I just want to acknowledge that, Lord, and God, that we would be faithful stewards of whatever You give us so that we can reach people. Our heart is to honor You with everything, Lord, no matter what it is. And God, so I lift up each request here tonight. Lord, You heard. You heard, Lord, and I know it's not in Your plan to give us everything we ask for, God, but it doesn't hurt for us to ask. You're pleased when we ask You because we're acknowledging we believe that You can if You will. Lord, I just pray You would bless our church, and I pray we would grow in the Word, grow in love towards one another. God, grow in our love towards You. And we have to do that by receiving. It's not something that we produce. God, something that we sit at Your feet like Mary did and we receive. Help us to be people who receive so that we can take what You give us and share it with other people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all.